necrophilia has had a long history in England, and until recently, even that was covered up.
British entertainer Jimmy Savile victimized young girls on national television, openly flaunted abusing 177 patients between the ages of 5 and 75 at 41 hospitals, keeping their eyeballs as souvenirs.
Hospitals have rules with patients and things like that. Well, because I'm dyslexic when I want to be, I don't understand rules.
Jimmy Savile's victims have faced years of pain. We owe it to them and to our audiences to understand how this could have happened and to make sure that everything we do ensures that nothing like this could ever happen again.
Now, after decades of neglect, finally, England must now answer to why the powers that be quietly allowed mainly Pakistani, Kurdish, and Kosovoan Muslim men, according to court records, to form a network of sex trafficking rings all across Great Britain to sadistically rape thousands of English girls for roughly four decades.
We seem to be looking at millions of rapes of white and Sikh girls by Muslim men, only 222 of whom have been convicted since 2005. So, my lords, will the government ask our Muslim leaders whether the perpetrators can claim that their behavior is sanctioned in the Quran and to issue a fatwa against it? And second, my lords, will the government encourage a national debate about the various interpretations of Islam? Can we talk about Islam without being accused of hate crime?
And when you look back to for example, the 1970s, we had something like 200,000 Muslims in Britain at that time. But every decade they've doubled since then. So the 200,000 became 400,000, became 800,000. We're now up to 3.2 million. But as they grow, they start demanding more and they start pushing more. And because they back this up with terrorism and with jihad, the government listens to them. You know, when Muhammad said, "I have been made victorious through terror," he's speaking absolutely the truth. And our government understands the fact that they are frightened of Islam. And they Islam pushes and our government buckles.
The most recent scandal, known as the Telford scandal, was a network of 200-plus Muslim men gang-raping local children. While another major incident known as the Rotherham scandal from 1997 to 2013 affected at least 1,400 children. Some had reported being doused with gasoline, witnessing violent rape, and had their families threatened if they talked. A 2013 inquiry into the Rotherham child sexual exploitation uncovered a local government unwilling to address the problem due to contempt for the working class, a fear of being deemed racist, and protection of its reputation.
There have been slave caravans and slave women and slave children being sold. For 6,000 plus years of recorded history in North Africa, in the Middle East, and in Central Asia. By the way, there are other cultures were selling slaves as well. It's just those cultures never came up to the 21st century. Every major town has thousands of little girls and some boys trained, recruited, and then put into sex slavery by age 9, 10, 11. And if the parents, the poor parents, get uppity and say no, the police come and set them up and arrest them and have CPS, Child Protective Services, take their children. So they could cover it up for decades, but because of Tommy Robinson breaking the ice, blowing a hole in the lie, and not shutting up, others had the courage to go public. So the pedophile rings that run England, that's mainstream news, are really angry. So now they've ordered in the courts that no one report on the trials, period. Don't even say they exist. Right-wing activist Tommy Robinson reportedly jailed after filming outside child grooming trial. This is Fox News. They were like, "Alex, there's not a ban on reporting on Tommy Robinson." And then they started commenting in the feeds going, "Oh, we apologize, there is. Oh my God, you can do that in England?" Yeah.
UK groomer gangs fuel globalist chaos. That's the latest from John Bowne. And yes, we will be talking about civil war in Britain today. It is popping off, folks. I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Lifeline. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now at 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
It's Monday, August 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. Coming to you live from Austin, Texas, on the eve of Armageddon. World War III, the worldwide civil war, we've been talking about the last 5 years, seems to finally, possibly, actually be here. And that, of course, is combined with the conflict in Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East to represent just a conflagration waiting to happen. It's just a big, giant pile of gasoline waiting for that match to land. We're, of course, going to talk extensively about what's going on in the UK and what exactly needs to happen there. I'm both tentatively excited that the English people are standing up for themselves, while simultaneously nauseatingly anxious that this is about to make January 6th look like a cakewalk, that they're about to roll out a command and control system that the West has never seen before. And so we'll get into exactly what needs to happen, what could happen, all of the various possibilities spiraling out into the future with the UK descending into just straight up civil war. Although it's not really civil war. Civil war is when nations fight themselves. This is an occupied, invaded nation fighting its own government to get rid of the foreigners. It's a very modern conflict. That's one way to put this. So we'll get into all of that and more on today's show. Your phone calls as well. Let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 5th of August, 2024. Parts of England resemble a war zone after race massacre of three young girls. Southport, United Kingdom, civil unrest continues to grip large portions of the UK following a brutal and bloody race massacre of three young girls in Southport. The violence, which involves swarms of white and non-white demonstrators joined by black-clad Antifa, has so far engulfed the towns of Blackpool, Stoke-on-Trent, Hull, Leeds, Nottingham, Newcastle, Blackburn, and Liverpool, among others. According to reports on social media corroborated by significant amounts of cell phone video, Muslim attack squads are roaming the streets in places like Stoke, targeting white Britons with bats, hammers, and in some cases, swords. Two white demonstrators were confirmed to have been wounded in such attacks, including one man who was interviewed while covered in blood. Despite the violence, British police appeared to do little to stop the race-based attack and instead used force to protect Muslims while strongly urging them to surrender their weapons. We have tons of video footage of all of this. We will, of course, get to as much of it as possible. And we'll take a look at the story I just told, but from the liar's perspective. We'll look at the mainstream media and the way that they are portraying this. And it's mind-blowing, folks. Stay tuned. I've got some crazy videos to show you, not just of the riots, but of the media atmosphere around it and how blatant their deception is. It really is shocking. Zero Hedge has this article today. Black Monday, futures plummet as VIX hits 62. Japan suffers worst point drop in history. They say, good morning and welcome to the global market meltdown sparked by last week's catastrophic BOJ decision to rate to hike rates by 0.15 BPS, which will in turn crush the 20 trillion yen carry trade. Long story short, futures across the board are down. The market is collapsing. Basically, every stock is dropping at a precipitous rate, except, of course, for things like Lockheed Martin, except for the weapons supplies, which are off the charts in the green. They are doing extremely well. So it's war. We're going to world war. That's what's happening. Meanwhile, Taliban gets $239 million in UF Afghanistan aid after State Department fails to vet awardees. Less than a year after Judicial Watch reported that the Taliban had established fake nonprofits to steal millions of dollars in U.S. aid to Afghanistan, a new investigation reveals that the terrorist group has also received hundreds of millions in development assistance from Uncle Sam because the State Department fails to properly vet award recipients. At least $239 million have filled the coffers of the extremists running the Islamic Republic since the 2021 U.S. military withdrawal, according to a report published this month by the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. It's just one of those things, isn't it? One of those things where if you misspell your address on some form, they'll crack down on you. If you mislabel your tax returns to keep $40 incidentally, prepare to go to jail. Somehow the Taliban's out here scamming $239 million from the U.S. government. Isn't that interesting? But hey, couldn't happen to a nicer crew of blokes. I just hope Lord Miles gets some of that change. Meanwhile, federal air marshal whistleblowers report Tulsi Gabbard actively under surveillance via Quiet Skies program. In case you thought it was just Donald Trump that represents a political threat to the establishment that's being dealt with in egregious and unconstitutional ways. An exclusive breaking story, several federal air marshal whistleblowers have come forward with information showing that former U.S. representative and presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard is currently enrolled in the Quiet Skies program. Quiet Skies is a TSA surveillance program with its own compartmentalized suspect terrorist watch list. It is the same program being weaponized against J6 defendants and their families. Quiet Skies is allegedly used to protect traveling Americans from suspected domestic terrorists. The photo below is a screenshot from the actual target package used by the FAMS to surveil Gabbard. And the image can be found on the digital article. Nobody thinks Tulsi Gabbard is going to blow up a plane. Nobody ever has ever suspected Tulsi Gabbard of being an actual terroristic threat. It's just the label that they applied to her completely unfairly, completely without oversight or, you know, having to prove anything. They can just, by fiat, declare you a terrorist, even when your only crime is to oppose them politically. That is tyranny. We live in a tyranny. We live in a totalitarian state. Slowly but surely, it's being built around us. We can end this stuff and suffer absolutely no consequences, or we can keep it going and just be slaves forever. I guess the choice is up to us. But when you have the American government using anti-terrorist programs to stop presidential candidates and high-powered political figures, or just to watch them, just to surveil them, just to track them, monitor them, it's the incrementalism that will kill us all in the end, and we're seeing it ratcheted up. And finally, we have this. Biden to meet with national security team ahead of anticipated Iranian attack against Israel. Tensions in the region are at an all-time high following last week's killing of senior Hezbollah commander in Lebanon and Hamas's top political leader in Iran. President Biden will meet with his national security team in the Situation Room Monday ahead of an anticipated Iranian attack against Israel. The meeting came a day after Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin spoke with his counterpart in Israel Sunday to reiterate U.S. support for the Jewish state as tensions escalate with Iran and its proxies, threatening a wider regional war after 10 months of fighting Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip. That's one way to put it. Another way to put that is after a string of assassinations in countries surrounding it, Israel is now awaiting the blowback from their geopolitical decisions. We'll get back into that story in a little bit as well, but that's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by InfoWarsStore.com. Go today to InfoWarsStore.com and get one of our fantastic supplements. any of our wonderful products, air filters, water filters, survival gear, and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, it keeps us on the air and in the fight. And I feel the weight of responsibility right now, as the mainstream media is, of course, deliberately obfuscating what is going on in the UK. And while I don't know what the path forward is. I don't know. Like, if I was suddenly given, if the lady in the lake handed to me Excalibur and said, "Free Britain, you know, all of the rioters are now at your command," what would you have them do? I don't know what I would say. I really don't. I don't know whether to encourage this because it's now or never, because if the trends continue as they have been, England is over forever, and that by starting this process, you have to go all in. I don't know if I should advise our listeners in the UK that, like, this is it, the die is cast, the Rubicon has been crossed. If you don't go all the way right now, it's going to be so much worse in the past. Because that is the truth. That is absolutely the truth. We'll show you videos. And we showed you them last week. Last week, we showed you Keir Starmer, the prime minister, giving a speech in which he laid out a terrifying and totalitarian array of surveillance operations to round up everybody involved in these protests. And following the expansion of those protests and the widening of the riots, he gave another speech in which he went even further in demonizing the native British protesting their own people being slaughtered in the streets. And so either these riots continue, the outrage escalates, the conflict grows stronger, and the British people actually get major concessions, like make major demands and get the government to adhere to those, and deportations begin and the boats are stopped and the entire system is cleansed of the, you know, I don't even know what to call it, the anti-racism, the fright that exists in it now that allows Muslim men to, you know, systematically and at an industrial scale kidnap and rape young British girls. Like, something has to be done to undo all of that. And this has to not end until something tangible and concrete is achieved. Because if they stop, it's going to be January 6th times 10,000. It's going to be January 6th, but in every city where these riots took place. We have so many videos of this, and I don't even know where to begin. Because there's a couple things. There's comparing what's going on in England now to what's going on, what happened in 2020, and what's happened many times since then. Comparing the response from the government to some native British people getting up in arms and getting mad and protesting versus how they were treated when it was Black Lives Matter. There's a lot of compare and contrast we can do there to, you know, comparing the grievances of one side versus the other. You know, one side is having their children's throats slit in the middle of the day at a summer camp. The other side is the same race as people that were once enslaved several centuries ago in a different country. So, we can compare sort of the grievances that's causing the riots versus the UK's response. We can also compare it to other conflicts around the world. We can compare this to what's going on in Ukraine and determine which cause is more just and righteous, which one of these conflicts, you know, represents the people rising up against a foreign occupier that's trying to destroy their country, and which side is just a NATO puppet being used as a proxy to weaken Russia. There's a million different, we could just compare, you know, we could just start looking, maybe we'll do this. We'll start looking at this story as if we're normies. Let's just imagine that you spent all weekend watching sports and you decide it's Monday morning. Let's check up on the news. What do we think's going on? You can go to Al Jazeera. This was the first thing that popped up in Google News today. This is how most normie people, your neighbors and family members, this is how they're getting the information. Far-right rioters attack asylum seekers' hotel in UK's Rotherham Tamworth. Far-right demonstrators have attacked at least two hotels housing asylum seekers as the United Kingdom grapples with its worst riots in 13 years. On Sunday, hundreds of people gathered near a Holiday Inn Express hotel used to house asylum seekers near the northern town of Rotherham, throwing bricks at police and breaking several hotel windows, and then setting bins on fire. Far-right violence grips United Kingdom. Of course, this is Al Jazeera, but it's the same really across the board. And we actually have footage of this. Clip number 7, Holiday Inn at Tamworth, which houses illegals, being burned. But there's another, this is afterwards, is the aftermath of it being burned. But there's another shot of this where you can actually see the police standing by, standing in a line, basically allowing this to take place. Not sure if we, not sure what the number of that clip is, but we can find that. It's a little bit different of a story. And we can look at what Starmer's been saying. Let's go to clip 16 here. It's maybe not the easiest way to comprehend what he's saying, but I think the point comes across. It's two Keir Starmer speeches. The one on the left is in response to the Black Lives Matter riots. The one on the right is the response to the Southport riots. And they play both these simultaneously. And you can hear as he talks over himself how one side is played down to and coddled, and not even criticized, while the other side is being threatened with total and utter destruction. Let's go now to clip number 16.
Like no doubt,
I was shocked.
Those that have participated in this
violence, killing of George Floyd,
will face the full
and the
force
response
of the law.
President Trump,
the police,
and the US
will be making arrests.
To the peaceful
individuals
protests,
will be held
to people
on
rightly
remand.
Demanding justice.
Charges will follow.
Has been an affront to
and
humanity.
Convictions.
The last
follow.
Week has shone a spotlight.
I guarantee
on the racism,
you will regret taking part in this disorder
and injustice,
whether directly
experienced
or those,
by those
whipping
from
up this action
minority
online,
ethnic communities
and then
in the US,
away themselves.
In the UK,
this is not
and across
protest.
The world.
It is organised, violent thuggery.
Injustice anywhere,
and it has no
is a
place
threat to justice.
On our
a little bit different. A little bit different. Of course, Keir Starmer was. That picture during the Black Lives Matter riots, kneeling and holding his fist in the air in solidarity. And think about how far removed these two conflicts are. These two, you know, the inspiration for the two riots. He's actually sitting there going, I too was shocked at the video of George Floyd being killed. No statement about being shocked about three little girls under the age of 10 being slaughtered by a knife man from Rwanda.
And they weren't overdosing at that time.
They didn't happen to be overdosing at that moment. No.
Yeah, those girls died because they were murdered.
Yes, actually murdered. An actual act of injustice that should sicken your heart. Not this guy, though. No, this guy was sickened and shocked at George. So you've got a population of black people in the UK, literally nothing to do with the U.S., the problems don't even exist. Like, it's so far removed from reality. You've got this theme in America, this narrative of black police or black men being killed by police officers, just out there hunting them for you know, innocently chewing gum or whatever the lie is. That's not even true in America. And yet that lie about America is inspiring riots in the UK. And Keir Starmer is saying, yes, this is all very valid and righteous and good, and riots are the language of the unheard, and we will give you whatever you want. Versus people who've had their daughters slaughtered in the streets their response is outrageous and a bridge too far and have to be shut down with, you know, brutal and technologically horrifying shutdowns. And it is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. So let's go to clip 14 here. Here's Keir Starmer again explaining that these riots, these protests are being used as a sort of honeypot. Basically, if you participate in them, you will be arrested. I remind you, they are still arresting people about January 6th. We are 4 years on from the dust up at the Capitol in which the only people killed were Trump supporters. They are still rounding people up to this day. For the first time, people who like went there and were like, well, but I didn't do anything. Literally last week, there was a guy, he was in the Capitol for 75 seconds, never touched anybody, never touched anything, in there for less than 2 minutes, turned around and left. And now, and you know, for 4 years, it's just like, you know, why should I worry about it? I didn't do anything wrong. They're not coming after me. Well, little did they know, slowly but surely, working in the background, the FBI was on their way. And they've just arrested that guy under with terrorism charges. So imagine that times 10. It's not unlikely that if this uprising in the UK fails, it'll be 2034. And the regular people who like got off their job and went to show solidarity with people who's having their neighborhoods destroyed, their country overridden, their daughters slaughtered, they'll be rounded up. They'll get a nice visit from some 4-foot-tall woman in a police uniform to haul them away for corrective reprogramming. So let's go to clip number 14. Here's Keir Starmer.
Be in no doubt, those that have participated in this violence will face the full force of the law. The police will be making arrests. Individuals will be held on remand. Charges will follow and convictions will follow. I guarantee you will regret taking part in this disorder, whether directly or those whipping up this action online and then running away themselves. This is not protest. It is organised, violent thuggery, and it has no place on our streets or online.
So again, same thing that we covered last week. This is a this is the all-in poker hand, and that was the bluff. If you participate, this we'll round you up. Well, only if the movement loses steam, only if it's able to be kettled and eviscerated. And we can show you, you know, who this guy really is. Clip number 10. And there's something to this. Here's Keir Starmer trying to throw punches in a gym.
I just try and whack it. Yes, this is
this guy.
That's it.
Come again. Try and breathe. Relax.
Never thrown a punch in his life.
Absolutely.
Doesn't even look like he can stand up particularly well. It's these weak, pathetic men ordering the police to round up their fellow countrymen for protesting a death of children.
This is a make it or break it moment, so I need people to connect those synapses in the brain for you to make a decision. If you don't support InfoWars, we will be shut down. And people say, well, they're constantly trying to shut you down. How are you still in the air? God. But God works through people. So we're in a paradox here where the judge says we're open for 3 more months. If we're able to get a buyer under the law, they won't be able to shut us down. I'll just work with somebody else. And that's coming. That's got to be set up. But in the meantime, if people believe the news that we're being shut down everywhere, which they tried to do and failed, by that foregone conclusion, we're shut down. And under the last federal bankruptcy manager who would not reorder product and killed all our advertising, who was positioning us to be shut down and tried to shut us down, we caught him. The judge caught him and fired him. We're almost sold out of all the products. All right? But we have a lot of great products that are still in stock, limited supplies. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And we just had a donation button. Maybe we should just do that. You're fighting for freedom in a key election, battling the globalists. We need support. But we want a long-term relationship with you. We want to be symbiotic. We want you to get great products you like, get them delivered to you quickly, and enjoy them and have them empower you and make your life better so you love them and you keep getting them. We want a relationship. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto with other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breasts. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD. We've got Ashwagandha Gummy. Relaxes you, makes you feel really relaxed with no downer feeling. Amazing. An incredible product. Good Night Sleep. We have a lot of great sleep aids. This one's excellent. They're all different formulas. People love it. Good Night Sleep. InfoWars MD. Ashwagandha with black pepper, which relaxes you and makes you lose weight. These are all concentrates. Joint Relief Max works really well. Great pain relief. Huge bottle of it. You know, jam-packed. It's there. Joint Relief Max. InfoWars MD. Prostate support. Already mentioned that. This is just a top formula. Super high quality. Organic. Nerve Renew. Amazing. To get your nerves, not to kill pain, but to get your nerves healthy. Nitric Boost. Vitamin Refusion about to sell out. About to sell out. Real Red Pill Plus. And something I never talk about and should talk about more, Probiotic Fiber. A super high-end product at a low price at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support. There are a lot of amazing green drinks out there. And the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts. Our immune systems, our vitality, it's so important. But not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market. And we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex. For yourself and your family, I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to optimalhuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. What's happening in Britain? Now, part of me, wants to point out the trap that this really is. That everybody participating in the riots runs the risks of being January 6th. As they are announcing, they're rolling out these fake facial recognition programs. I mean, they have the totalitarian setup to systematically destroy these protests. On the other hand, Tommy Robinson led a march of 40,000 people through London like 2 weeks ago. He was arrested and detained and questioned for like 6 hours. They took his phone, you know, treated him like a complete criminal for doing that, and it did nothing, and it made no impact, and it made no difference. Time and time again, the UK people have voted and tried to politically find a solution to this problem that was created through the political system in the first place. So I don't think they're in this position to not fight back. And now that this has started, you kind of have to go all in. You kind of can't stop until you get concessions, major, important concessions. And that, I guess, would be my first order as wielder of Excalibur, right? If I was in charge of all of these British patriotic forces, I would say, first of all, you need a list of demands. You need concrete, actionable demands. That's what Black Lives Matter did. That's what, you know, all these successful movements do. They don't have to be reasonable demands either. You got to make your demands known and set the conditions for peace. Without that, then it can go on indefinitely. I would also, if I was general of these forces, I'd say don't burn down illegal migrant hotels. That's where you get all these headlines, right? Like from Al Jazeera. Far-right rioters have attacked two hotels housing asylum seekers. And asylum seekers, these poor, beleaguered people fleeing war, and now their hotel is being burned down by these racists. The key to this is understanding that the info war doesn't stop once the fighting starts. That's when it's most important. That's when the information flow and the framing of narratives becomes more important than anything else. I'd say stop burning down the asylum seekers' buildings and start targeting the people that are actually responsible for this program. In other words, you're sitting there fighting the remote control car rather than the person wielding the remote control. And if you want things to change, it's not the asylum seekers that can change things. That's only going to get people more mad and feel sympathy for the asylum seekers. The people that can change things are in Whitehall. They're in London. They're in palaces. There's got to be some organization and coordination here for this to have any success, which is why they are focusing their crackdown on limiting the coordination and organization and communication that these groups can have. They understand the threat that this represents. And again, we can get into just the way that the coverage is completely lopsided. Some amazing video where the news announcer saying they're bemoaning the far right, violent white English people. That's what she's talking about. While meanwhile, in the background, there are literal mobs of Muslims with swords and axes walking past her. But let me just make this point. The information war doesn't end when the violence begins. And what's going on in the UK has to be framed correctly. Obviously, they are trying desperately. Here's the video. Do we have the audio of this?
Park here, a big group ran off, looking for trouble, it looked like, to us. So we're just going to step away now from this group behind us. But a lot of disorder here, a lot of fear and look very
a group behind us.
It,
yeah, it's a bunch of Muslims. So she's talking about the far right activists, demonizing them, saying they're looking for a fight. And her shot is interrupted by about a dozen dudes holding giant metal poles and axes and swords. So that's the state of the, you know, portrayal of this. They're really desperately tying Tommy Robinson as the leader of this. And again, you almost have to admire the way that the media runs a narrative regardless of the evidence anywhere. So like Tommy Robinson is on vacation right now. Former English defense leader Tommy Robinson relaxes in five-star Cyprus hotel while fueling violence across the UK with inflammatory online posts. So in other words, Tommy Robinson being on a beach in Cyprus might make you think he's not the one organizing these riots, but that's where you're mistaken. No, it's actually just proof of how devious he is. It's like that skit I did of the boy who called, who cried wolf and wolf, the boy who cried wolf. And, you know, this idea of like, well, the fact that we haven't seen the wolf, that just shows you how sneaky they are and how dangerous they are. It's like, no, you're using the absence of evidence as evidence. This makes no sense. So instead of the obvious conclusion of Tommy Robinson is a continent away on a beach, it's probably not him organizing this. Instead, they're saying Tommy Robinson is on a beach a continent away. Look at what a supervillain he is. Look at it. And yet he is still organizing and directing these riots.
What's even worse is Jada Franson. She's the leader of the British Freedom Party. She's casting shade on Tommy Robinson for whipping up these riots from Spain, but not participating in them, basically insinuating that he's a coward. And I looked at her profile. She's totally anti-Tommy Robinson. But I mean, the fact that this guy doesn't participate in every single event, like, this is the OG right here. He doesn't even have his own real teeth. He lost his real teeth fighting in jail from being arrested like 1,000 times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was arrested like last week.
Let the guy have a vacation. Jeez.
I know. And but again, that's the thing, is it's like, you would think him being in, they'd go, okay, well, we can't use him as the scapegoat. But no, no, instead. And you heard it in the Keir Starmer speech we just showed, where Keir Starmer's like, people, you know, riling this up and then running away. You know, he's ending it Tommy Robinson. They're all blaming Tommy Robinson on this, in the same way that they were blaming Stuart Rhodes, despite having never gone into the Capitol, or the Proud Boys, despite their leader being literally in jail at the time January 6th happened. It's shocking the way that they're able to do this. Tommy Robinson's response, front page of the Daily Mail. Anyone who's followed my videos on here knows full well I've been calling for calm and deterring violence. Of course, don't expect the media to tell the truth. This is an attack to endanger my life by corrupt media. Because, of course, nobody knew where he was. But now in this, you know, heightened tension time period, they're writing articles going, this is the hotel he's in Cyprus. In case anybody wanted to go get him. He's causing, you know, civil war in the UK, in case anybody wants to deal with this issue that we're having. It's just like Trump putting up the video on January 6th saying, everybody be calm, go home, be peaceful. They take that down, ban him from the internet, and say he's the one that's responsible for the violence. It's the same playbook over and over.
So number one, you've got central banks now starting to buy it by the tons, right? It's a lot. You've now got Chinese citizens being encouraged to not just buy gold, but buy silver. Because China and Russia want to destroy the Western banks. And the Western banks, JP Morgan Chase and HSBC, have the largest number of naked short positions on the planet. On the planet. I think between the two of them, they have over 900 million ounces of silver in short position. Well, only 1.2 billion ounces of silver is mined every year globally. So they've got almost the entire annual production in a short position. That means when the price goes up, these banks lose money hand over fist in multiples. China knows this, which is why they're encouraging all of their citizens now to buy not just gold, but buy silver, because that creates more demand. Every time silver goes up in price, the Western banks lose money in multiples because they're on the wrong side of the transaction. They want to do it to destroy the West, and they want to do it to make a financial gain. Both of those, in their minds, are legitimate enough reasons to do something, right? But let's look at silver, because that's what we're allocated into right now, because the ratio between gold and silver points towards silver. It's outperforming. Where were we just 4 years ago? 1191. But now since then, we've gone from 1191 to almost 30 in the last 4 years. See, the trend is accelerating because the geopolitical dynamics are causing its growth. It's not just a flight for safety. It's not just a way to preserve and protect your freedoms and get out of these unified ledgers and these social credit scoring systems and this digital money, you're getting something tangible that actually doesn't just grow. It's growing tremendously. It's up like 40% in 4 months. That's amazing. But you also have something that can maintain your freedoms, Alex. That's the tangible intangible, which is as our freedoms erode.
Oh, no, I can't believe we have millions of viewers right now and maybe 500 people call you. It's a sponsor. I only promote what I think is great. So I sell water filtration systems that have the highest rating for like half the price on average. And I sell high quality supplements. I just sell stuff that I think is great. Everybody should call you and get into silver and gold right now. There's nothing performing as good as it. I mean, it's like it's on record. It's the best investment, but the stockbrokers won't tell you that. The globalist argument is, oh, the world's in turmoil and everything's collapsing. We got to be strong. And America's got to threaten Russia and China to keep us as the dollar. But they're the ones that undermine the currency. They're the ones that brought us into this situation. And so that's why this is so incredibly dangerous. They just tried to kill Trump just, 10, 11 days ago. They are going for broke. I wish we weren't in this position, but we are. But by admitting where we are, we have a real chance of waking up, like Congress saying, we know you tried to kill Trump. Buying silver is the smartest bet there is. You'd have bought silver a year ago, up 20, 30%. That's what you want. And silver is the big mover in this economy. So go now to kepm.com/gold or 720-605-3000. We'll explain it all to you. Most of the gold and silver companies are charging you huge 30, 40, 50% premiums. And most of the conservative talk show hosts are doing it too. And I talked to them in person. I say, you need Kirk Elliott.
What does Goldman Sachs think gold is going to do before the end of the year? $2,700 an ounce.
And I'm sitting here saying, it funds us, it keeps us on air, and it's the best investment, hands down, in an imperfect world. I mean,
this is, to me, is one of the most important things to protect your financial future ever.
Go now to kepm.com/gold.
Videos here. Just a quick note on this Daily Mail article about how Tommy Robinson is somehow simultaneously laying on a beach in Cyprus and also solely responsible for the riots breaking out in the UK. It just so happens that right above this, you know, the top headline story, at 55, I have finally admitted I hate being a mother and I resent all the sacrifices I've made. Enemies of humanity. That's who these people are. The enemy. I would say this. There's two ways that these things go. Either they start off with a bang that then gets crushed, your January 6th style operation, where nothing of any value gets achieved through the riot or the protest or anything. It's not planned. It's just, you know, people being fed up with having their country overrun, with seeing foreigners in their country riot every week. And in response, the media and the government praising them, telling them how brave and powerful they are, and then giving them everything they want. And people see that and then just go out and want to express their anger about what's going on, only to suddenly find themselves deemed terrorists and sent to jail for decades. That's one way that things go. Another way that things go is they build momentum as they continue forward. They're the snowball rolling down the hill. And UK is at an inflection point right now. Whether these protests continue to expand and get bigger, and the political pressure gets more massive, or whether they are crushed and fizzle out and go away. And the number one thing determining this is the perception through the mainstream media. If the English people can be convinced that this is a bunch of far-right thuggery, as they keep calling it, and that participation in this means you're a racist Nazi hooligan who will be sent to jail forever, well, then they're not going to show up. If instead the reality of this story is told, that the English people have been under systematic brutality for a long time, that they are very much at risk of losing their entire nation, and that it's imperative for just the average British person who wants to just have a normal, happy, peaceful life, that if they want to be able to send their kids to summer camp without the kid coming home in a body bag, then they need to get out in the street and insist that their government listen to them for once. And so obviously the media understands this. The enemy understands this. And the majority of their energy right now is being dedicated to framing this conflict as the far right versus decent, innocent people, as an expression of race hate rather than an occupied people rebelling against their occupiers. We can go to clip number three here. This is BBC abruptly ending the conversation with a former Met superintendent. That's Metropolitan Police. This is a former superintendent with the Metropolitan Police in London on BBC. And the instant he strays even an inch from the established mainstream narrative path, he is shut down ruthlessly. Let's watch.
And my family members are in the front line dealing with this. They're taking the brickbats. What I'm saying is you cannot... You have to be very careful now with tempers the way they are and people's sense of angst of what had gone on in the preceding couple of days where you'd had an army officer stabbed in the back, the misleading representation in the northwest where this occurred.
That's a different case there, Kevin, so we'll leave it there. That's Kevin Hurley.
They're not. You're missing the point. All of you are missing the point. People conflate this. And they make
we're worsening that conflation by mentioning the two cases together here. So we'll leave it there. Thank you. Kevin Hurley, who's the former detective chief superintendent.
So even mentioning one of the crime, one of the myriad, the endless, the just innumerable vicious crimes against the British people, he just happens to mention, you know, there's this British soldier stabbed to death by an immigrant. And immediately she steps in to cut him off and drive him away, because the perception has to be that these riots are simply motivated by some sort of racial purity, that this is all some crazy white nationalism, which, to be fair, every European country should be white nationalist. They are white. They should be nationalist. I'm not a white nationalist when it comes to America. We have a different history. We are a you know, out of many, one, that's sort of the point of America. I think it's foolish and historically invalid to think of America as a, you know, white nation. But Europe, 100%, obviously, they are and should remain. Just like every country has a right to self-governance, so does Europe. That doesn't end with them. But regardless, this has to be portrayed in the worst possible light in any, you know, information that gives justification to the grievances of the British people has to be silenced entirely. And this clip I'm about to play next is the ex-chairman of the Scottish Police Federation, clip number five. And he does away with the subtlety. He says in no uncertain words exactly what the containment strategy is here, how the information war is being waged, what the tactics are. This is like blueprint of the enemy on display right now. And this is why, you know, the information war is at the heart of this. They understand it. And if we don't understand this, then they get to set the frame of the narrative and get to write history however they want. Let's go now to clip number five. Again, Scottish Police Federation chairman explaining how the framing is used to shut this down.
Point at taking place anytime soon.
What do we know about the far right in Scotland then?
Well, even in terms of the anecdotes of our own experiences, we know that whenever there's been an attempt to establish any kind of far-right foothold in Scotland, that the Scottish public generally has no truck for them. And it may well be that the associated labelling of these riots and disorder by being far-right is enough of a deterrent to prevent those that are otherwise annoyed or vexed at whatever particular issue they have from taking to the streets under the wider banner of far-right activity.
Did you hear that?
I don't want to say that this is Nigel Farage's fault, but when we saw when Nigel Farage came to Edinburgh a few years ago that he was pretty much run out of town, and attempts to stir up far-right sentiment in Scotland is usually met with a very strong counter.
All right, so we can pull it down. We can pull it down. He just said, I'm not sure if you caught that. He just said associating these protests with the far right. He's literally saying labeling these actions as far right should be enough to keep them contained, should be enough to drive away. And you can hear he even kind of gets caught up because what he's actually saying is if we call these protests far right, then other people who also are not happy with their country being destroyed, with the crime, with the rape gangs, the normal people, as he puts it, you know, the people that are annoyed or frustrated or whatever he says, they'll stay away. They won't participate. If we label this far right, if we use this, you know, rhetorical weapon that we've implanted in the wider populace, just like CIA came with the term conspiracy theory in the 60s. It's just the label that you need. And it works as a mental block to people. And when you say that's a conspiracy theory, it's a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, internally, their mental walls go up and they go, I'm not listening to this. I'm not hearing this. I can ignore this completely. It's the same thing with far right. They've seeded this word as the biggest danger in the world, as the greatest threat to peace, love, and happiness, and polar bears. And so when they say far right, they know they've implanted this little time bomb in people's heads where you say far right and it explodes and they go, oh, can't do that. Not going to participate in that. I'll ignore that. Even the people who understand and agree with the sentiments being expressed by the protesters. Protesters are out there saying our children are being killed. We need less migrants. We need deportations. We need Britain run by Britons. And people who agree with that completely will be turned off from going to the protest, will themselves stop themselves from participating in legal, you know, anti-government action with the label far right. They understand this is an information war. The problem is they wield most of the means of communication.
And if you can just stitch into that somehow, Alex, the ongoing accusation that not only you might be controlled opposition or I'm controlled opposition, that even a figure like Elon Musk, due to his various billion-dollar contracts through SpaceX or Tesla or whatever it is, can't truly be the renegade that many of us believe him to be.
He's devastating them every day with hundreds of millions of views, with transgenderism and open borders and world government and carbon taxes and depopulation and replacement migration. And they're, I mean, you can't argue with energy to energy. It's a mathematical equation. He's literally devastating them. And I'm supposed to sit back and go, I'm a Pharisee to Christ. You know what? You're not perfect. You're going to hell. I'm literally supposed to sit back and watch devastation of the enemy. Like they are shitting their pants and go, I could have done it better. Great, get on the field. Show us what you'll do. Stop bitching. Show me what you can do instead of claiming everything is controlled. You say I'm with the devil? No. Those of you saying there is no hope, those of you saying Christ isn't real, those of you saying God didn't call us to victory, those of you saying that we've given a spirit of overcoming and victory, not of weakness, when the enemy comes like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. You are the Satanist. I love Jesus Christ. I want human victory throughout the stars. And any of you saying that I serve Satan or servants of Satan, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ.